Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello, I'm Pat Rulo, and welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, the only show of its kind that tells it like it is not tied to anyone, not bought and paid for by any outside sources, just honest, researched facts to help you survive any healthcare or hospital encounter. And can you believe it's December already? Time to sort through all of the holiday decorations, plan a few parties, swig some eggnog and nutmeg, and enjoy all that the season has to offer. And having that feeling of gratitude leads me into today's guest and topic, where we're going to explore our mind, our thoughts, positive affirmations and gratitude, and how these things really make a difference in our health outcomes and in life in general. But before we get into that kind of spiritual mood, I've got a healthcare hazard this week that truly has me concerned. It's about the health hazards associated with wireless technology, especially in hospitals, and how this is having and going to have a huge impact on the health of our doctors and nurses, people we entrust to take care of us. But who is taking care of them? Before we enter that segment, let me say that I am not against technology. I love the new ways we can track and monitor patient progress, medical records, improve the patient experience. But at what cost? Technology is not bad. The implementation of this technology is what is bad. Beyond bad, it is life-changing and humanity-altering. We can have much of the same results using hardwired access or fiber optic broadband, which ultimately offers so much more than wireless. It's more reliable, has greater speed and capacity, is more secure, and has a lesser environmental impact. So as you listen to my next segment, please bear in mind that I don't despise technology. I despise the method, as the dangers associated with wireless are far greater than any benefit. Only no one seems to know it yet, or if they do, are too afraid to approach it. But as I said at the beginning of today's program, this radio show is not tied to anyone or anything but the truth. So, well, let's get started because it's time for the healthcare hazard of the week. The lone wolf cries. A new study shows that long-term use of mobile and cordless phones tripled the risk for the most common type of brain cancer, glioma. Patients who began wireless phone use before the age of 20 had the highest risk. The electromagnetic fields emanating from wireless phones easily penetrate children and adolescent skulls because the brain is still developing up until age 20. The study says physicians should warn their patients of this risk. And I, the lone wolf, ask, and who will look after the patient when all of the healthcare providers fall ill due to the extreme use of wireless within hospitals? Have you ever checked out the amount of cell antennas located on the roof of every hospital? A hospital is not a place to heal, nor is it a safe place for doctors or nurses. This is scary stuff, and I have yet to hear anyone talk about this from the health provider's side. Electromagnetic sensitivity is a recognized condition, despite the fact that ever greater numbers of people are suffering from electromagnetic sensitivity, EMS, there are still relatively few mainstream medical doctors or medical facilities who are aware of this disease. Both scientific literature and clinical research show that EMS features a wide variety of symptoms, including chronic headaches, dizziness, sleep disorders, mind fog, digestive disorders, depression, anxiety, People with EMS experience any combination of these symptoms and more when they are exposed to electromagnetic fields emitted by wireless devices such as cell phones, cell towers, and routers, also by electricity, appliances, power lines. I read articles that say healthcare practitioners need to better understand EMS so that they can help their patients prevent and manage their symptoms. The public needs to know how to protect themselves from the broad range of health impacts that electromagnetic fields have on their minds and bodies. But as these articles implore doctors to become aware, why isn't anyone cautioning them about the negative health hazards that surely affect healthcare providers, doctors, nurses, the staff? Are they somehow immune to this? Well, I don't think so. The simple fact is this. Everyone is affected by EMFs, electromagnetic fields, and those with stronger immune systems will simply begin having these EH symptoms at a later date, as it can take a while for the sensitivity to emerge, often after 3, 4, 5 years of 24/7 exposure to EMFs. Well, this sensitivity can be initiated by some trigger or by some incident that ultimately damages the bioelectrochemical communications within the body, which leads to permanent sensitivity. And hospital workers spend most of their days and nights working in a sea of radiation, given off not only by hospital equipment such as MRI systems, electromagnetic nerve stimulators, electrosurgical units, and other devices for medical treatment, but also from the Wi-Fi in the building, computers in every room, iPads, cell phones, cordless phones. Electrosensitivity can also be triggered by exposure to a new electronic device. And they can further cause damage by opening the blood-brain barrier, causing toxins to flow through the protective barrier. There may also be environmental factors that contribute to this sensitivity, such as having amalgam fillings, which we talked about, dental fillings on a previous show, metal implants, or a retention of heavy metals, thanks to the constant chemtrailing of our skies, another program we had recently, or due to poor nutrition, continuous exposure to EMFs by living near power lines or cell towers, or spending a lot of time on the cell and cordless phones or computers when at home. There are numerous studies linking electromagnetic sensitivity and other diseases to living near or with EMF-producing technology continuously for a number of years, and I'm not making this up. For example, cell towers. There are many studies correlating cell towers with a variety of diseases. One conducted in 2003 in France found that people living within about a quarter of a mile of cell antennas reported the following disorders: fatigue, sleep disturbances, headaches, difficulty concentrating, depression, memory loss, visual disruptions, irritability, hearing disruptions, skin problems, cardiovascular disorders, dizziness, and the list goes on and on. Cell phones. Cell phone usage has increased exponentially over the last few years, and so have the studies, finding an important link to ES symptoms and other serious diseases. There are studies in particular on headaches, such as one by A.H. Frey, on which he found that headaches are caused when EMFs damage the blood-brain barrier, and that the dopamine-opiate systems of the brain are also affected by EMFs, causing headaches. Bottom line, people aren't born with this condition. It develops after a period of exposure, after which the body seems to reach a tipping point over the edge into electrosensitivity. Now, I've heard from many patients who have sensitivity, and here's what typically happens when a person experiencing symptoms from this insidious microwave radiation goes to the doctor. These electrosensitive folks face denial and sneers from the medical establishment, with notes in their charts that suggest they are delusional. And these patients find themselves sent home with antidepressants or other non-effective drugs that lead to unwanted side effects, that lead to more drugs. And there we go. So my lone wolf question is, what are these doctors and nurses doing for themselves when they experience such symptoms? Do they question the negative environment in which they work? Or are they popping pills to mask the problem they refuse to recognize? Here's a little something that a listener sent to me. Now, I don't know if she wrote this or found it online, but it pretty much sums things up nicely. She says, "Pat, to experience disturbed energy in all its glorious spectrum, visit a hospital. Electromagnetic field radiation in megadoses plus disease, negative emotions, and human suffering in all its forms, a matrix hard to cope with. In a hospital bed with a broken ankle and complications after surgery, I pondered on this as I lay over a motor giving me blasts of EMF as the nurse hired and lowered my electric bed. This, on top of x-rays and probably doses of EMF from the machine that they strapped to my arm to check my vital signs to see if I'm still alive. That, of course, is the only beginning in a high-tech, all-electric health facility. I'm here to get well, I thought, and in fact, they are killing me. Bit of an overreaction, I know, but in all reality, it wasn't speeding up my recovery. Then there were my roommates with their assortment of medical conditions, dis-ease in energetic terms, accompanied by all the raw emotions attached to them, and their visitors in all their states of human condition, and wowee, an energetic mix of gigantic proportions. And after side effects from painkillers, we won't go there except to say that they play havoc with the normal functioning of the digestive system in all its unspeakable entirety. When I tried to talk to some of my healthcare providers about the health risks associated with wireless radiation within the hospital setting, I found that the medical profession is very single-minded on the whole. Eventually, though, EMF will be as big a taboo as smoking. Well, now this is me talking. And I ask, what about the industrial-strength wireless cell boosters on top of hospitals? I take my radiation measuring meter with me to every doctor appointment or hospital when I accompany my mom, and I have to say, the readings are in the severe red zone. Not only are these hospitals responsible for radiating those in the building below, but what about the people in the buildings surrounding them? I don't know if anyone has read the fine print, but those that erect cell towers on their properties, and I would imagine the same goes for those found on buildings, they are the ones who assume all liability, not the cellular companies. But that's another issue. Now, it's not necessarily the high readings that are the biggest problem, but constant low levels are even more hazardous to a person's health. Epidemiologists at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill explained the association between extremely low-frequency EMFs and suicide via the melatonin connection. They say, based on observations that these exposures alter the daily rhythm of the pineal gland, which regulates melatonin production, as well as the role of melatonin in depression, and depression as an important risk factor for suicidal behavior, they say suicide seems a potential consequence of exposure to EMFs. And there's more. Dozens of studies, including the one in occupational and environmental medicine, suggest that even low levels of EMFs depress the body's production of melatonin, the hormone that controls the sleep-wake cycle. German research finds that people with low melatonin levels report depression, brain fog, exhaustion, and agitation, symptoms of electrosensitivity. It's called the Dracula hormone because its production peaks at night. Melatonin can increase the effectiveness of the body's immune cells, helping to prevent disease, including cancer. This hormone just doesn't help you sleep. It can potentially save your life, particularly if you're exposed to EMFs. And that's why I always implore you to turn off your wireless router at night. Keep the cell phones, chargers, decked cordless phones, and baby monitors out of the bedroom at night. But then, what about a hospital stay? You can't get away from the radiation there at night. And what about doctors, nurses, the healthcare staff? Where and how are they sleeping at night? In a safe zone? I don't think so. A surprising number and a variety of careers are putting people at risk today due to this ever-increasing exposure to antenna, cell and cordless phones, digital and electronic equipment, faulty wiring, microwaves, power lines, satellite, and wireless. Comparing job histories of people with rare brain tumors called gliomas and cancer-free controls in the San Francisco Bay Area, a study in the Journal of Occupation and Environmental Medicine noted twofold or higher elevated risks for firefighters and physicians. The melatonin connection is obviously an important link in all of this. The loss of melatonin production, when combined with sleep deprivation that many hospital workers experience, further combined with high levels of EMF found in the hospital. Sounds like a recipe for a sick bunch of healthcare workers. Not exactly bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to cut into your heart. Yet attend any medical conference? Or heck, even do a search online, and all you hear about is how smart technology is revolutionizing healthcare. Wireless changing U.S. healthcare. How can Wi-Fi transform the healthcare sector? The newest app to measure your heart rate. While meantime, it's radiating you to death. Yes, it's changing healthcare, all right. It's killing everyone. So I ask, as someone looking out for the welfare of our medical professionals, where's OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration? OSHA recognizes that hospital workers face serious hazards, including lifting and moving patients, workplace violence, exposures to chemicals and hazardous drugs, slipping and falling, exposures to infectious diseases and needle sticks. What about this silent but deadly technology that everyone is embracing? And where's the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration that ensures medical devices are safe? And where's the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, which often works closely with the FDA and has jurisdiction over equipment that uses radio frequencies? Where is everybody? And why am I one of the only few lone wolves out there howling about this? We talk about surviving a hospital stay on this program. How are we, patients, going to survive if our healthcare providers are drinking the Kool-Aid and making themselves sick in the process? I'm asking every patient and healthcare provider to take heed. The research has been done for years now, and the findings are covered up by industry, business, government, in the name of money. These man-made frequencies are just that, made by man. They are not natural. We were not born to thrive and survive in an environment with these constant levels. We are being duped. We are being fascinated, like the pack rats who run off with a shiny bit of scrap, only to drop it when the next bright piece of trash catches his eye and then drags the offending pretties into its den. So are we, enamored with glittery technology as we drag it all home, into our schools, our hospitals, and silently suffer the consequences of our own failings. Our failings to see past the glitter, that we are merely puppets, pawns in the great game of greed. Pack rats, too consumed by the need to grab the next shiny object, failing to hear the lone wolf who precedes imminent doom with her cry. After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that's where you can purchase the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate, Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out and in a positive way. And remember, we donate 2 handmade pillowcases to either a troop member or to a local veteran's shelter for every book sold with your name on it as the donor. So for a mere $20, you benefit, and so does some well-deserving warrior. Give a meaningful and useful gift that really says, I care. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, and throw in some of those icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everybody needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com, or you can request by email at speak@speakupandstayalive.com, or call me 440-725-5462. All right, folks, the holidays are right around the corner, and that means it's time to get started or finish your holiday shopping, and I am going to make it easy for you today. You know, you always want to give a present that will elicit, oh, I love that, this is so cool. But often you end out with the same shirt or a scarf or the same stuff year after year. So why not be a hero this year and give your friends and family something that really could make a difference in their lives and have fun doing it too. And I'm talking about our Tiny Drops Essential Oils. And these things are not expensive. We're talking $7.99. I think the most pricey thing we have here might be $10.99 or $12. So it also makes for great stocking stuffers. All right, you could buy single bottles of essential oils, and these are bottled in dark amber glass with a very easy dispenser on it that drops one tiny drop at a time. And as an exclusive, we bottle your oils moments before we ship it to guarantee that you have a fresh and effective product. And we've talked about the beneficial aspects of essential oils and all the healing aspects of it too. And so you could find out more about that. I'm not going to go into all of that today on the tinydropseo.com website. But they do wonders for things such as aids digestion, helps with sleep and insomnia, for insect repellents, fever reducer, an energizer, muscle aches and pains, kills germs and bacteria. Some of them are great for psoriasis and eczema, for colds and flu, for scars and wounds and respiratory, teeth grinding, bruises, cough, sinusitis, nausea. I mean, the list just goes on and on. So not only are you giving a gift, when they open it up, they say, oh, I love that. Hey, smell this. It's fun, but it also is very practical and beneficial health-wise. So we have clove bud essential oil, eucalyptus, frankincense, lavender, lemongrass, peppermint, sweet orange, and tea tree essential oils. And I've limited them to the top eight that actually have superior health benefits. And those bottles are only $7.99 each. Or you could get them packed in the pack of eight, discounted for only $55 for the entire set of eight. Now we also have some synergy blends, and I mentioned these in the past week. One is called Be Gone MRSA. So if you know of anyone who is going to the hospital, and heck, I mean, even just to have around your home, because we've talked about how MRSA is out in the community. You can get MRSA on an airplane, in a grocery store, in a barbershop, a beauty shop. It's out there. So our Be Gone MRSA, it's a proprietary blend of tea tree, lemongrass, eucalyptus, and clove bud essential oils. And it creates a complex and a broad spectrum support against infections. So all you have to do is spray it or drop it. We've got either choice. Also, we have Hospital Helper. So for sure, if someone's going to the hospital, here is a healing blend in an easy-to-use 2-ounce spray bottle. Just mist your bed, your room, or yourself for a calming, relaxing, and supportive environment. And this is a special combination of lavender, peppermint, frankincense, and clove. And I guarantee you'll love it. You don't have to go to the hospital to use this. You could spray this all around your home any point in time, but especially relaxing and helpful for someone in the hospital. So our two hospital-specific ones are Be Gone MRSA, Hospital Helper, although you can surely use them every day of the week at home. We've even packaged this into our Safer Surgery Pack, and this makes a very cool gift. It's got a spray of Happy Happy Joy Joy. Again, that's a lovely mist that will kind of enhance and calm and add peace to your hospital room. Be Gone MRSA oil is included in that. Be Gone MRSA spray. A single bottle of peppermint oil, because peppermint oil has really been shown to help with nausea, post-anesthesia nausea. Sometimes you can take medications and it makes you feel sick. A little whiff of peppermint calms and soothes your stomach. And included in our Safer Surgery Pack is sweet almond oil. And that's just a carrier oil to dilute your essential oils for massage purposes or just as a moisturizer. And that Safer Surgery Pack is only $45. So for a small amount of money, you can get quite a whopping and exciting gift. Now, for those that might be in sunnier or warmer climates, we have Bybug. It's a bug spray. So don't kill yourself in the process of keeping those pesky bugs at bay. Our insect repellent is made with only 100% essential oils and purified water. So it's effective, it's safe, there's no DEET or other toxic ingredients. And that spray bottle, a 2-ounce spray bottle, is $8.99. We also have a wide assortment of other spray mists. Mists that you can spray on your body, your face, your room, or even your linen. And that is a very neat idea. Spray your bed sheets right before bed. And this is also perfect for those with fragrance allergies. And we've talked about multiple chemical sensitivities and all the garbage and toxins and synthetics and chemicals that are put into colognes and perfumes. Well, none here, folks. This is made with purified water and 100% pure essential oils. So the lineup of that is Clove Bud Mist. This is an energizing spray that helps to increase focus, clarity, and boosts energy. And heaven help us, we all could use a boost of energy during the holidays. Clove bud mist. It's only $7.99. Then we have eucalyptus mist. This is a bracing way to help improve your mood and aid in deep healing breathing. How about lavender mist, a peaceful spray to calm and soothe you and your environment. Peppermint mist, a stimulating spray to enhance alertness and stamina and assist with headache pain. Sounds like we need all of these for the holidays, folks. Tea tree mist, a restorative spray to cleanse, purify, renew, and disinfect. And heck, with all the people that might show up to your home for the holidays, you may need to spray some tea tree mist around. And again, we have the hospital helper. It's perfect for smelly hospital rooms, in addition to its ability to relax and soothe the patient. Yay for that. Now, brand new on tap just for the holidays, we have whipped body creams. Love whipped body creams. These are perfect, again, for those with fragrance allergies, and they're suitable for all skin types. It's thick and rich with a smooth and creamy texture, yet it's not heavy or greasy. This decadent cream glides on your skin, leaving you soft and cuddled. And again, I wouldn't mind being cuddled this holiday season. So we have your choice of lavender, peppermint, and sweet orange. French lavender whipped cream, peppermint twist whipped cream, and orange sickle whipped cream. I love the orange sickle whipped cream. It reminds me of the orange bars I used to eat every day in junior high and high school during lunch. Then we've got some lotions, and these silky lotions are Soil Association certified and contain 89% organic ingredients, making them an excellent choice for those with fragrance allergies, and again, are suitable for all skin types. These contain organic certified coconut, apricot kernel, sunflower oils, and shea nut butter, and is enriched with moisturizing aloe vera. And I know you'll love the light velvety texture that leaves your skin feeling silky and nourished. Sounds like a commercial. And again, we have your choice of lavender, peppermint, sweet orange, and tea tree. The 2-ounce bottle is $7.99. The 4-ounce is $10.99. So like I said, for just a small amount of money this year, you can be quite the impressive gift giver. Simply go to tinydropseo.com. Tinydropseo.com. And the E stands for essential. The O stands for oils. tinydropseo.com. And if you want more information on how to use these essential oils, and we also have all the science behind it, so this isn't me making things up. This definitely has clinical studies and research behind it. Just go to tinydropseo.com, or if you do not have internet access, give me a call, 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462. 5462. That's our studio line. Leave a message on the studio line that you are interested in the essential oils for the holidays. I will get back to you and we will get those out to you. TinyDropsEO.com. Tiny drops, big results. Naturally healing essential oils just for you and your holiday gift giving. You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. Always happy to share everyone I meet who just may make a positive difference in your life. I met today's guest when we invited her to share her radio program called The Gift of Choice on our Speak Up Talk Radio Network. Now, we're only accepting programming from existing radio hosts who have the background and expertise to really help our listeners improve their lives. And so it is with my wonderful new friend. She is Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie is board certified by the American Nurses Credentialing Center as a family nurse practitioner and has additional training in integrative medicine, mind-body techniques, energy work, as well as headache and chronic pain management. She owns The Bridge to Health, an integrative healing center in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Bonnie is recognized as an expert in helping people make changes to achieve their goals. Her focus is on providing an integrative, holistic approach to people with chronic emotional and physical pain. Clients learn tools that bring together mind-body medicine, nutrition, energy medicine, and spirituality to help them enjoy the lives that they deserve. She is also author of the book, 5 Steps to Better Health and Happiness, your guide to natural wellness, and the audio set, the ultimate health and wellness gift set, the Essential Mind-Body Connection audio system. Now, I read the book from cover to cover, and it is a must read, and I know we're going to talk about that in a bit. There's so much more to know, but let's get started. Welcome to the show, Bonnie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Pat. It's so great to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you as well. Now, Bonnie, I know that you had a difficult medical journey that brought you to do what you do today. Will you share a bit of that with us?
Oh, sure. I always say that there are no accidents. Even our car accident wasn't really an accident. I truly do believe that it was what I was meant to experience in this lifetime to bring me to who I am today. Now, I've been a holistic nurse practitioner for many years, an RN prior to that, longer than I really care to admit to anyone because it kind of shows my age. But things are going pretty well. In 2005, I went into my own private practice, The Bridge to Health, and I was really doing well. I mean, I had lots of patients. I was maybe working a little bit too hard. I mean, that's the only thing, but I truly loved what I did. And then in 2009, my life took a little bit of a turn. We had a serious car accident. We were on our way home at midnight after going to a wedding in a nearby town. We were on the highway going 65, which is the speed limit, and there was a truck, and they did not stop at the stop sign, so we got hit pretty hard. And I am so thankful to this day that the other people in the other car, the kids that were in the other car, weren't hurt that bad. My husband wasn't knocked unconscious. I unfortunately was, and I was in a coma for a bit, only about maybe 3 days or so. Some of you might know, you don't really wake up from a coma. It's sort of a gradual thing. So I was in the hospital about 10 days and had lots and lots of therapy, prayers, and lots of hard work, but I got my brain back, and I am so thankful and so blessed every day. I mean, gratitude has a whole new meaning since I had that experience. So I don't regret a bit of it. I mean, I wouldn't look for that to happen to other people, certainly. You don't have to have an experience like that to really find the value in your life and have that sense of gratitude in just the simple stuff. Like, I remember the first time that I could stand up by myself in the shower. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I will never forget that day. It was awesome. And how often do we all take things like that for granted? So it truly has brought me to what I do today, which is more not just the whole, you know, medical stuff as a nurse practitioner, but the more inspiration and giving people hope and, you know, letting them know it could be done.
See, I find that to be such a beautiful story where people have something unexpected, a hardship, a crisis, a health situation that happens to them. And in most instances, it does change a person and hopefully for the better, and that you do have to look for that better side and that whole side of gratitude to understand why did this happen and what can I do to make that experience a positive one instead of a negative one. So I applaud you, and I'm so happy that you survived and that you're here to join us and help others.
It's I am too. You know, when I was home from the hospital, I was feeling well enough to get back to my meditation practice because I've done that for years. I asked in that moment of, you know, illness, why did I get better so fast? You know, how did I get so blessed? And the message that came to me, again, I'll never forget this, is that you had to prove it could be done. Not just for me necessarily, but to share that with other people, that it can be done.
Absolutely. You're a beautiful person. I'm proud that you're here and can speak these words and inspire others with your experience. Well, now there's so much we can talk about. We could be here for weeks and weeks because your book is just thick and rich with awesome, awesome ideas. But something that grabbed my attention during our email exchange when we were trying to hone in on a few topics to talk about today. On this program, we always talk about being an empowered patient during our healthcare or hospital visits and how it's important to speak up. Yet most of us have a difficult time doing so. It's hard to ask our providers to wash their hands before touching us. We don't often ask about medications, their side effects, our diagnosis. It's almost as if we were hypnotized. And you mentioned the word hypnosis and that there are only two things required for hypnosis to occur and that healthcare providers don't even know they're doing it, but that anyone viewed as an authority easily hypnotizes people all the time. And I want to know more about that statement. So tell us what you mean.
Well, that is absolutely true. There are only two things required for hypnosis. And most people think of hypnosis as sort of a magical, mystical, you know, I can't control anything type of experience. But really, when you sort of break it down, the only two things that are required is One, you're in a focused state of attention. Now, if you're in the hospital or in a doctor's office, you better believe you're in a focused state of attention, especially when the doctor comes in, if the nurse comes in to tell you something. The second thing that's required for hypnosis is a suggestion of some type. And it's not so much what the healthcare provider or any authority figure really says, it's how you interpret that. So it includes their body language, how they, their tone of voice, not just the words. And whatever you hear from that, you're basically, you're hypnotized to believe. So I can share a quick story of something that a good example of this was early in my nurse practitioner years when I was actually in the Department of Internal Medicine. And I had a patient come in, and she was maybe in her 60s or so, mid-60s when I saw her. And she was coming in for chronic headaches. And I always ask, you know, when I saw someone with any type of chronic issue, do you remember when this started and what was going on in your life? And I try to kind of get to that history, what's underneath their chronic pain. And she said, oh, yeah, she got real serious. And she said, oh, yes, I remember. I was 16, and I was visiting my grandma, and I fell out the window. I don't know how I fell out the window, but I did. And I hit my head. Well, in those days, they called the doctor to the house to make house calls. And she said, I remember. She described the couch she was laying on the porch, you know, with the flowers that were on the couch, everything. And the doctor came in, and she was definitely in a focused state of attention, right? And he said, oh, you hit your head really hard, and you're going to have a headache for the rest of your life.
Oh.
And she did. Because in her 60s, she still had a headache every single day since she was 16. That's an example of how powerful that can be. Now, I don't know exactly what the physician said when he came to see her after he examined her, but that's what she heard. And that's what hypnotized her to have chronic pain for decades after that.
So you help people unearth that and find maybe the beginning point of that, huh?
Yes, yes. There are ways that you can, you know, not allow yourself to be hypnotized to begin with, and then there are ways to undo previous hypnotic suggestions. So as an example of how to not allow that, I'll use my example. When I was, you know, in my therapy and I had to go see the neuropsychologist several times and take all those stupid tests that I don't like to take, at one of the visits I asked, I said, do you think I'm going to get my brain back? And I was not in a very good place at that point. But, you know, I was walking around and that kind of thing. But I had some cognitive issues yet. And he said, well, you know, maybe, but probably not. But that's not going to be a bad thing, Bonnie. And you're just not going to be able to do the things that you could before. And life will be better for you. You know, I'm sure he meant it, you know, to sound, to be positive, but it wasn't positive. So basically, he said, no, I don't think you're going to get your life back. You're not going to get your brain back. You're not going to be able to think the way you used to think and do the things you used to do. And what I did is I kind of know that other side of the whole healthcare system. And he wanted to put me on medications and do all this, you know, traditional stuff. And I had the good fortune of being on that other side. So I kind of knew a little bit more than many people do. And so I said to myself, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to work so hard, and I'm not going to believe that I'm not going to get my brain back. It's going to happen. And I never for a moment doubted that I wouldn't get my brain back and all my faculties intact again. And, you know, I don't have any scientific evidence to, I wasn't in a study or anything like that to prove that made a difference. But you know what? I think it made a difference because I did not allow him to hypnotize me in that way. That's one way that you can do it. And that's, you know, kind of goes along with speaking up during your hospital stay or your clinic visit. Don't have to accept everything. You know, we put those folks, whether they're nurses or doctors or police officers or teachers or whoever, we put them on a pedestal. That's our choice. You don't have to do that.
I almost believe that every healthcare encounter, every doctor visit, we are already in some sort of an altered state of awareness or a heightened state of awareness where, I mean, our actual brain waves are probably behaving differently than if we were just, you know, strolling down the street having an ice cream. So I think we should think about that ahead of time to think, all right, when I get in there, I'm going to be in an altered state and that the suggestions could possibly be self-fulfilling. So either A, be aware of that, and B, it might be very helpful then to always bring someone with you. So you've got someone else that might be a little disconnected from you and your outcome and can hear things maybe in a more a non-connected way.
Yeah, well, I think that's so absolutely true. To have a, you know, advocate of some type being with you is really important. And I'll give you another quick example of why that's so important. I had a patient who had breast cancer, and her breast cancer had returned, and she she was sitting in the doctor's office waiting for her test results to see how bad it was. Do you think she was in a focused state of attention? She was there with her husband, and the doctor came in, and I have no idea what exactly he said or how he said it, but what she heard was, "You're going to die soon." That's what she heard.
Yeah.
And her husband, thankfully, was there with her, and he didn't hear that at all. So, you know, I don't know what the physician said, but how your state of being, your health status at that moment, we hear things differently. I mean, you could put five people in a room and you say something to all five of them. All five of them will probably have a different interpretation of what that is. It really behooves people, I think, to have some sort of advocate of some type there with you, if for no other reason, just to hear the information in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And to go in with that thought in your mind already, okay, I'm in this state of awareness, and to realize that our mind and body are really connected, because our thoughts certainly do create who we are based on just the little stories you just told us. And there's many ways to work on that mind-body connection. But today, I just want to highlight maybe two of them. One would be guided imagery and the other affirmation. So let's start with guided imagery. Explain, what is that and how does it work?
Well, guided imagery is really, I mean, imagery in any form, whether it's guided or interactive, there's a few different ways you can do it, but it's sort of like the back door into the subconscious mind. You know, if you could see your mind, I mean, you can't see your mind. It doesn't show up on a CAT scan or an MRI or anything like that. But if you could see it, I think it would look like an iceberg. I always use that analogy because most people know what an iceberg looks like. So the top part of the iceberg, the part that you can see that's above the water, that's kind of like your conscious mind. That's what we know we're thinking. But that huge piece of the iceberg under the surface of the water that we can't even see, that we don't even know is there sometimes, is like our subconscious mind. And so what guided imagery or any type of imagery will do is it sort of gets into that subconscious realm, which is huge. I mean, everything you've ever experienced, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it is in there. And so you want the good stuff at the top. So when you use imagery or affirmations or many of those types of tools, it helps to get the good stuff at the top. Between 90 to 95% of what we say, do, think, feel every day, every single day, is based on not what's in our conscious mind, what we know we're thinking, but what's at the top of the pile in the subconscious mind. And that's why imagery and affirmations and many of those tools can be so powerful, because that's what really shifts things.
Well, because your brain really doesn't know the difference between what is real and what we think about. So it behooves us to put those mental images in our subconscious thoughts there that are positive and not negative.
Right, absolutely. The brain doesn't know the difference between real and imagined, so why not imagine the best?
Exactly. So with guided imagery, we're thinking of, okay, I'm relaxing on a beach, or that I don't feel the pain. How does that work?
The way I tend to personally do both the guided and the interactive imagery is, and that's the way I do hypnosis too, is I don't like to tell people what to do or where to go or how to feel. So I offer metaphors or analogies or suggestions and let them go wherever they want to go, because I think you can really take the best vacation that way. So there's one an audio that I have. Actually, I have it as a free thing on my website. It's called Taking a Mini Mental Vacation, and it allows you to go wherever you want to go on vacation. I don't really tell you where to go, but it's how you feel when you're there, and that's really the core. If you get to the feeling of how you're there, that's really what you're after. Some guided imagery, you know, CDs and things that are out there are very structured, and they tell you exactly where to go and how to, you know, what's in your environment. But people do it differently. But at any rate, it's really to get to the feeling. That's really what you're after, because that has the most power,
yep.
You know, the emotion.
Absolutely. I agree. Affirmations. Let's talk about that for a moment. Now, if you lived in my house or my office, you would find all of these colorful 5x5 cards that someone gave me as a gift a long time ago. They're scattered everywhere, and each has a purposeful message. Like right here on my desk, I have a little card that says, "It is only a thought, and a thought can be changed." I have another one that my dad wrote, found a little scrap in his office, and I framed it, and it says, "You can do it if you believe." I have another one that says, "You are what you think about." So these subliminal messages kind of have a way of seeping into our subconscious. So I want to know what your thoughts are about that.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who say, "Oh, affirmations don't work. I've got those little post-it notes all over my house, and nothing has changed." So there's two comments I would have about that. First, I ask the person, well, how much do you use your affirmations? They say, oh, gosh, I do them a lot. I do them like at least 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the afternoon, and I say them out loud. And then I ask them, well, how much of the time, how much of your day do you think about all the things you don't want in your life, you know, the negative things or the scarcity things or whatever? And they say, oh, gosh, I think about that all the time. So part of it is a matter of where do you put your emphasis? What is your predominant way of being, in the affirmations that you're reading or saying out loud, or in the wording about stuff? And the other thing about affirmations, words are just words. You know, whether they're written down, if you say them, they're certainly more powerful. But I truly believe that you have to bring the emotional piece into it. You have to actually feel it. Let's use weight loss as an example. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And then in the back of their mind, they're thinking, oh, yeah, like, that's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. So that affirmation isn't going to work no matter how many times you say it, because you don't believe it, and you can't feel like you're already there. I think the best way to give power to your affirmations, there are many ways, but one of them is to pretend you're already there. Because you're going back to that you just mentioned earlier, Pat, the brain doesn't know the difference anyway. So pretend, what have you got to lose, right? Pretend you're already there. Pretend you're already 20 pounds lighter or whatever the situation is. Pretend you already, you know, have survived your cancer and you're playing with your grandkids 5 years down the road. Be there. Feel like you're there. That's really where I think the power comes in affirmations. This is not just the words necessarily. And then for people who say their affirmations out loud, I think that gives it a little, you know, bump in energy as well. If you say them in the mirror and you really look at yourself and you believe what you're saying, it adds another dimension of power. So as an example, when I was recovering at home after the car accident, I would, and I know this sounds kind of silly, but every time I went to the bathroom, we had this big mirror over our vanity in the bathroom, and I'd say, Bonnie, I'm so glad your brain is getting better and better every day. And I was like this little cheerleader. And pretty soon it was every minute of every day, every second of every day. And again, I have no scientific evidence to prove that that made a difference. But you know what? I think it did.
Yeah. As you were just saying that, I was imagining you and knowing what you look like in the mirror doing that. And I have to tell you something and admit something to you today. I was looking at a couple of your other websites and I saw a picture of you and your husband. And you know what I found myself doing? I smiled back at your picture. I saw that picture of your husband. It made me want to smile at him and the two of you together. I wanted to smile back at you. And so I think that just the feeling that you have about yourself and the energy that you have about yourself is reflected even in a mere photograph on your website. So I think it transcends just something that you're saying and it becomes who you are.
Thank you so much for saying that. That is so sweet. But I think you're absolutely right, Pat. It's a way of being. It's who you become. It's who you are. And it's whether you're dealing with a health issue and you find yourself in the hospital. If we all had enough self-love, self-worth, and we didn't need anything, I mean, really, what happens on the outside shouldn't reflect what we believe our value is.
Exactly. Oh, Bonnie, I wish we had a whole load of time to talk. We might have to have you back and talk more. But let's find out where we can learn more about you, what you do, and where can folks purchase your book and your CDs?
Well, probably the easiest place to find me online is, it's just my name. It's just BonnieGressel.com. BonnieGressel.com. And pretty much I have everything there, and it links to everything else. Like my clinical practice link is there, and the radio show that I do, The Gift of Choice, is there as well. And if you go to Amazon, again, that's probably the easiest way to find my stuff, is just go to Amazon and put my name in.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't intend to have this happen, but I think my name has just kind of become my brand because there isn't another Bonnie Gressel out there, at least not online. So I don't have any competition.
Yes, because your last name is unusual, Gressel, and I didn't find any other Gressels around either, so that's a great place, BonnieGressel.com. Well, Bonnie, is there anything special that kind of ties in with what we were talking about today that you'd like to bring out?
You know, the only thing that I'd maybe like to reinforce is it takes people to know that anything is possible. We all hear those stories of people who have gone through cancer journeys and come out the other side, or accidents or illness of some type. There's nothing that says that can't happen for anyone, really. I mean, what have we got to lose? We get what we expect. You know, that's the whole law of attraction thing. We get what we expect, so why not expect the best? Put yourself out there in the future to where you really want to be, whatever the situation is. And feel how good that feels. Anything is possible.
Oh, you are a lovely person. Bonnie, what a pleasure to have you on the show today. I know we met for a reason, and if helping just one other person achieve a happier and healthier life, then I guess there's our reason, right?
Yeah, there are no accidents. I say that all the time.
I believe that as well. So thank you for being on our program today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's so wonderful to be able to share with people. Maybe you can even tell. I just get excited. I'm sitting like on the edge of my chair because I get excited doing this. So thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity.
You're listening to Speak Up and Stay Alive, Patient Safety Radio, and I am Pat Rulo, author of the book of the same name, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, the perfect gift for everyone on your I Care About You list. No worry about duplicates or wrong size. This holiday season, you'll be a cool gift giver. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com, or you can call 440-725-5462. Get some of that holiday shopping done early. Purchase the book, the patient safety logs, the CD, or the very neat container of 10 plastic TV remote control covers. Give a gift that says, I care. Go to speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. And then be sure to come back next week for who knows what will cross my path that I'll just have to share with you. Same time, same place, but you know me, never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.